I'll meet you for the stars, baby. I said, girl, can I rock you? She said, yeah, and I won't try to stop you. I said, oh, I'm up for the challenge. You make me feel electric. I'll try not to shock you. I'm a bad boy. I need a good reason. So what are the odds? It's the time, it's the season. Well, I'm alive, or I'm still kicking and breathing. I'm gonna kick it with you all night. Is that cool? Some say I got a problem. Have a good time, and we can worry about all that in time. My problem is you. You look super elite. You're out my league, but that's about to change. My problem is you. You look super elite.
Ooh, I've got a problem, baby. You're the only one I can solve it. You do the test, you say you're better than the rest. I'm ready to explore it, and I won't be disappointed. I wonder how you do like that. You said I'm super lean like that.
My problem is you. You look super elite. Yeah, out my league. Change. I'll meet you for the stars, baby.
Wow. Check you out. You guys are ballin'.
Oh,
hello,
thank you.
Everyone. Oh, my goodness. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of RCO Radio. I'm Crystal McCary, and you've been listening to Super Elite, written and produced by one of our two Super League guests today, Elijah Carrero. He's joining us with his close music colleague and friend, Chris Bradford. I learned of Elijah and Chris's music on the Music Sharing Powerhouse SoundCloud, and I've been following them ever since. And I'm extremely honored to welcome you guys into the program today. Elijah and Chris, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that's such a groove. I'm telling you, that is such a groove. And that laugh you have, it's like part sinister and part sexy. I just love that laugh. And I know you guys are, by the way, our lines are packed, everybody. They got a lot of support today, so right on, guys. You're just back from an exciting trip to Puerto Rico and the Caribbean with the wifeys, and I know it was all that and a
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time. And we listened to the music. We had some dance parties. We do that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Half music will travel.
Exactly.
And I note that it took you no time to get some new music up after you guys got back.
It was, yeah, we owed it to our fans and listeners to have a new song up. And I usually try to have one ready every time we hit like 100 likes. But because of the trip, we got delayed a little bit, but...
Yeah. Nice. Well, you know, I'm always discovering more of your music. I actually just made a repost a few minutes before the show started. So, Lige, let's begin with you. You started producing at 13, so mm-hmm. I know that your music production ethics are long and strong. And, I mean, 20 years ago, 13-year-old producers were not the norm. Today, no, they are. You know, 12- and 13-year-old producers are. But who were your early influences, and what helped you develop your early passion to be a songwriter and a music producer?
The way it works for me is my parents, my dad in particular, just loved music. He was always into showing me what he liked and different artists.
Nice.
He picked up on that. And
what
then,
kind of music did he put you up on?
He liked ELO, David Bowie, Cat Stevens.
Cool.
You know, kind of like that old folky rock kind of music and Boston, mm-hmm. just kind of Foreigner. I mean, the list could go on and on, but I had an appreciation for music from him because he just loved it so much. And he had mm-hmm. a guitar, and I was too young. I mean, we always had the guitar in the house even as a kid. But at 13, something clicked, and I decided that I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to learn how to play an instrument And as soon as I did that, I realized how to really grow, you have to record. And I just instantly started recording myself very roughly in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I, you know, when you get into that, when you're interested, you obviously progress. You know, if you progress as a guitarist, the same thing happens as a producer. You start recording,
right.
And you realize, okay, you want better quality, you want more tracks, you want more instruments, you want, you know, lyrics, you want good wordplay.
Right.
So you just start thinking about that. And then once you start recording, then you realize that, like, your friends want to write a song or something. And then that's how, you know, being a producer kind of takes over, is that now you're collaborating and having other people that have similar interests. And you're the one that
yeah.
kind of they go to. So you end up producing. Like, I ended up producing for a lot of my friends. I didn't consider myself a producer until later in my life. But looking back, I realized that's what I was doing the whole time.
That's what you were doing when you were young.
When I was young, mm-hmm. I just didn't, I didn't really understand what I was doing.
And Chris, what about you? When did you begin singing, and who were your early inspirers, and how actually did you connect with Elijah?
I started singing when I was the same age as Elijah, 13. I started at 13. And short story, I was in a car with my brother and sister and my wife, cousin, and I was singing Justin Timberlake at the time, and the song ended, and she looked back at me, and she's like, man, you have a really nice voice. And I really didn't notice, you know, until then, that someone noticed my voice, that I really took interest in singing and, you know, music in general. And so that's when it kind of started. It kind of took off from there, and then years later, I got some, you know, music equipment and started recording and stuff like that. But
so you were recording yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Well, actually, Elijah got me into the whole recording aspect of music. He, and that's
how
when we started.
How did you guys connect up?
Well, we actually did a show in Point Arena a couple years back, and we really didn't, you know, really didn't know each other that well. But
mm-hmm.
After the concert, we, you know, grew to know each other a little bit more, and, you know, musically we had the same interest, and then he got me into, you know, Pro Tools and, you know, having, you know, getting into the whole recording aspect.
Right on. Right on. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, we didn't perform together. His band opened for my performance.
Yeah.
And,
okay. That's nice.
Yeah, because we
so
weren't.
So by that time, Lige, you were pretty much seasoned a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, I don't usually put on, like, I mean, I call them, they're like bigger shows, but they're not really that big. It's only like a couple hundred people. But usually when I play, it's local, and I do like improv, like I'll play guitar and there'll be a saxophone player. Like I do,
mm-hmm.
It's completely different from what I, you know, really like to do. But
what
just
do
put
you
on,
really
like
to do?
An epic show of really loud and
and even.
But we're actually right now, me and Chris are, along with like Jordan Spears too, another person we work with, is we're trying to get a show together
mm-hmm.
where we showcase a lot of the different projects that we have and
mm-hmm.
perform it live. That's really important.
Nice.
To do that. But
yeah,
it
the
takes
visual
a lot of
is
work.
Really important for building that, you know, audience base. And there's a track you guys did, El Cobra Loco, that you did with Jordan that I really like. I dig that track.
We love that track too.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like
and,
that
know,
one myself.
And we
so once you guys
our
connected, you had to try to merge these ideas, and you were helping Chris to emerge and, you know, develop his musicianship skills. What's your process when you collab? You know, how does it work? Because you guys have done a lot of work together.
So how a typical way is, like, you know, Chris would originally, he would say, like, I would come to your, you know, I'll come to the studio and pay you. And I said, no, what you need to do to really progress is become like a collaborator. You don't pay me for studio time, but you get your own system. You become your own producer. You become, you know, if you produce vocals,
right.
whatever you want to do. And so by doing that, it empowers him to take,
that's
you know,
right.
and do as much as he needs to do with his rig, and I can do what I need to do. And we're not limited
mm-hmm.
by, you know, having to coordinate the times to get together. We can pretty much do it whenever we have free time. And that's usually how the process works, is I'll work on a song or he'll tell me an idea. Chris is very open about sharing his ideas and thoughts with me, so I'll take that and I'll run with it, or I'll just have my own and present it to him, send it over through email, because we don't live in the same town, and then he'll start writing his vocals or, you know, lyrics, and sometimes I'll include some lyrics, but it just depends on... Usually it's
so he sends you a concept idea, and then you make music to it, and then you send it back to him. And that's what he was telling me before the show, was that, you know, he's just amazed at how he can just give you an idea, and then suddenly you can make it into music that fits with his style.
No, it's true. We found a way to communicate ideas.
That's great.
Without having to really go into a whole lot of detail. He'll just say, hey, I want a song that has this, and I'll be like, okay, I got it, I'm on it. And I'll just go to work, and then by the time I send it to him, I mean, sometimes I miss. Sometimes it's a miss, and it's a little different than what he was thinking. But
still, that's good that you guys have a kinship, and it really works well. I was shocked to see how much music that you've done together. Now, Lige, I know you've got your own website at www.lige7.com. That's pretty much the hub to all of your music. You produce under many different aliases, and you also do amazing beats. I thought you had written like 1,000 songs, and you know, now I know that you've written 5,000 songs.
I did not know you have written a song every day
for the past 20 years.
Yeah, no, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but for me, like I told you before, is that it's like a diary, and I don't really ever stop writing. But day to day, I'm constantly, there's something happening, whether it's lyrics, music, beats, happening every day. And I kind of created that theory when I was a teenager, and because of doing that, I have kind of it's an overwhelming amount of material. For instance, I can't really go back and listen to all of it because it's just too much. So I kind of continue to just move forward.
We're going to talk a little bit about your catalog later. Chris, do you play instruments?
You know what? I played a little bit of guitar not too long ago, and you know, I was okay at it. I was, you know, average, but I just found my voice was just what I was. You know,
your strongest instrument. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, you know, singing really made me happy. And not that learning an instrument wouldn't, but I just felt like I could focus a lot of time to trying to improve on my voice, and that's what I've always focused on since day one.
Right. And Chris has done full production on several of his own songs.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I tell you what, your sound makes me happy too. And this show is really flying. You guys have so much to talk about. It is already time, Elijah, for our middle of the show feature, which I believe is Do or Die. And I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about the song and why you chose it, and then we'll take a listen.
Okay, well, basically we chose this song because it features me and Chris. And it's kind of the early start of me and him collaborating. And that's kind of the birthplace of, like, Blood, Sweat, Tears, even though it's not, you know, it wasn't done under that. We didn't come up with that name till later, so.
Nice. It's a great
original
track.
The first song that started the sound that we kind of wanted to take further.
Okay, well, everybody, here is Do or Die from the Blood, Sweat, and Tears EP, produced by Elijah Carrero.
You call my bluff, you put me through the ringer, then you choked me out. Made me a believer, then you filled me up with doubt. I'm not about to get heated, not about to let you get the best of me. I'm not about to be defeated, I'm not about to let you be the one I need. I gave you my all, everything I had. Bound to fall, cause you never give back. You keep on taking until the end of me. Eventually this has to stop. Yeah.
you do is wrong, take me to my limit. I have to be strong if I ever wanna win this. No, I'm not finished. You took it all. How does it feel now, looking down upon me? Way up high, on your cloud, I know you're empty. Eyes wide to the sky, oh, if only.
Ooh, look out now.
That's it.
Look out now.
That's
fantastic. Just in listening, you don't hold back when you're emoting and when you have messages. You really do keep it real and keep it raw, opening up, you know, with those messages, even the love songs.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you were to, like, ask my parents, I kind of made my lyrics have always been really personal and in a way where, you know, if we put my songs on in the car around friends, it's very personal and it's kind of can be unnerving for people.
Because
they're like, oh, it's like really personal. But
I applaud your willingness to truly open up and emote a message that a woman can cherish and appreciate, and that she can feel that it's coming, you know, from a real place within you or within a man. And it's a message in, you know, which she doesn't have to be called a biatch or an oh hey or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that class, and I like that real emotion. And, you know, those songwriting skills are developed when you can have that type of respect for what you're doing, you know, for what you're saying in your songs. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about your alias, Digitalis, and I know that one is one of your most popular tracks on SoundCloud, Bubblegum. Tell me a little bit about Digitalis.
So Digitalis is myself, Chris, and Jordan, and that just kind of came out of the fact that we had already done several songs, the three of us together, and kind of bringing our own styles and wanting to blend it all in a cohesive way. So we decided the name, much like, you know, you do enough collaborations and you kind of almost have to make a name for it. So we could actually take several of the songs we did that and call it Digitalis, even though at the moment it's not under that name.
Okay.
But you just have to, because it's different, like if you were a Digitalis and like different projects, they're too different, so they don't blend together, so we have to create these new, you know, it's like a band, it's like a different,
Now,
know,
do you
label.
Create a new one for all of your collabs?
Yes, if it deserves
that's another
it,
one,
then,
right?
Yeah, we give it a title, and it kind of has a new beginning, and now if me and Jordan and Chris, we sit down and write a song, it's probably going to be for Digitalis, so.
Okay, and then what about Shadows?
Shadows is me and Chris kind of doing more of a rock, like a hard edge, you know, alternative rock style, which we both appreciate and like. But, you know, Shadows wouldn't necessarily blend well with Blood, Sweat, Tears. It's a different fan base. It'd be different fans and people
so
like that.
So this is where your multi-genre prowess really comes in. You're able to make music under these different monikers because you master producing so many different styles of music. No, you also produce under the side aliases of Spike Spalding, Little Iliad, and Dub Steplin. What's all that type of music?
Okay, so for me to be able to express myself the way I feel fit to do, I have to create different names to feel comfortable. Like, for instance, Spike Spalding, I initially started to try to be a little more daring and do, like, you know, remixes of other songs that I'd done. And same thing with, like, Little Idiot. I don't care about the success as much, so it enabled me to try different things. But because I get positive response, then I continue it. I continue that personality and of fearlessness. And same thing with, like, Dub Steplin is just, like, it's, you know, basically just electronic music, and it allows it to be separate from what people might expect from, like, LIJ7 or just Elijah Carrero. It just keeps it all categorized in a nice way for me.
It's so impressive. How old were you when you actually formed your company?
Oh, I've had different ways, or different names that I've used. The first attempt I started was Amateur Records, which I've kind of let go at the moment, but I had that for, I don't know, a good 10 years, and I didn't find it to be very successful. So I started
to hone
in. You
were producing other artists?
Yeah, I was trying to do other artists and work with different bands doing their demos and kind of doing their startup. You know, I'd try to find talent and then showcase that talent by recording it and helping them release their first demo or album, whatever they want to call it, or even just a single or EP, whatever. But it just was really, it was a lot of work and very difficult, and it didn't have a lot, as much success as I would have liked. So what I kind of kept it simple and said, you know what, I'll just be LIJ7, kind of recreate myself, and I'll work with the people that I want to work with and who want to work with me, and I'll just keep it simple. So I can keep it under LIJ7 Productions, and I can feature and work with whoever I want, and not feel tied, you know, like tied to any one thing. It's like I can do whatever I want. It really freed me and liberated me for what I can do musically.
Yeah, and any time you want to do something new, then you can just create a new moniker. Chris, have you produced any artists?
I've produced so far like two songs, not very much. I'm still learning. I'm not really into the whole, you know, I've watched Elijah produce songs, and it actually just blows my mind. He sits down and he makes a song, like a really epic song in like 5 to 10 minutes.
And yeah, I understand.
It takes a lot of time for me and to do something like that. I've done two already, but I really have been honing in on vocal production and getting that, you know, top shape. And so I've been devoting a lot of time towards that and just trying to make the sound better and, you know, working on my performance vocally and trying to get better as well.
I'd like to add to that because, you know, originally Chris would send me his raw vocal. You know, after doing that so many times, I said, Chris, this you could produce your own vocals. You can have the finish say and how the volume and the effects. And there are times when I do the production on the vocals, but honestly, Chris has become his own vocal producer, and I love it. I love it.
So do I, and I think that's so beautiful. That's love on your part to want to see your counterpart be strong and have the ability, especially with his voice. That's beautiful. Let's talk right now for a second, though, about your music sharing, because one thing you do is you put a lot of your music up online for a free download. How has that helped you develop your fan base?
Well, I have one theory about it, and it's that if it takes off, if my music gets popular enough to where I feel like I need to pull in the reins and start charging for it, then I will. But until that time comes, I really want everybody to have access to it for free, and I want the most fans and the most listeners, because really, to me, the most important thing to me is that people are listening to my music. The biggest compliment someone can pay to me is they download my track and they have it on their iPod or MP3 player, and they're listening to it, and it's in their playlist. That, me, is the payoff.
Hello.
Well, I got news for you. That is how you got in my car, and that is how you got to this show.
That's it.
And by the way, we just had another listener dial in, so we have a completely full switchboard at this point. So let me ask you, I know, where else is your music online other than on SoundCloud?
Really, SoundCloud is one of my main outlets, but I guess you could go to beats1.com. Yeah, beats1.com under LIJ7. I actually have beats for sale. They're very cheap, so people could buy as many as they want, and I plan on continuing to, it's fairly new to me, so I plan on continuing to add more and more beats. And my motive for that is I just want to be able to collab with people and for them to have access to instrumentals, especially singers and songwriters who might not do their own music, but I want it to be very affordable and accessible. And then other than that, I have some things on Bandcamp. I have some things on Reverb Nation. I use CD Baby. I use TuneCore and iTunes, but honestly, I kind of dropped off that just because I wasn't having the connection I wanted. And I like SoundCloud because you can connect with people.
Yeah, your profile is amazing on SoundCloud. And, you know, I mean, who can say enough about SoundCloud? It's truly one of the most amazing music collective there is.
Well, I look at it this way. If I was a kid and I could talk to the people that their music inspires me. And if I can say, hey, I really loved your track, thank you for this, and they can say, oh, I appreciate
right.
that, you know, thanks for listening,
right.
that would have meant a lot to me. And so it means
that's
the same
right.
to me now. It's like I love to be able to communicate with artists that they blow my mind.
The caliber.
And
mm-hmm. the
if
caliber
someone loves
artists.
My music, it makes me feel so good. Like, I just,
yeah.
I get such a thrill out of that open communication. I mean,
yeah,
and
it is phenomenal because they're nice people.
Yeah.
I've been able to make some great connections myself through SoundCloud and just in shock and awe on a daily basis of the amount of talent there. Well, this show has really flown by. We are at the point now where it is time for our final closing track, which is Vivid. Pleasure has really been mine, fellas. Thank you so much for dialing in. And before I cue up Vivid, which is a smooth instrumental track that you've produced, Elijah, I just do want to say I'm so grateful that I got a chance to enjoy discovering both your and Chris's artistry streams. And I thank you so much for sharing so much of your music. RCO Radio is honored to follow and support you guys. It's especially refreshing to connect with producers who respect the music and the message and who put the work in at the level that you do and with the class and variety that you do. So well, well done, and that exotic vacation was certainly deserved.
Well,
and
thank
I
you
wish
so
you
much, Crystal.
Blessings.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
It's been
appreciate
our pleasure
it.
As well.
I want to wish you continued happy and prosperous music making. This time next year, Lige, I know that archive is going to be a few thousand tracks thicker because you are a powerhouse. I mean, you really get the work done.
Yeah.
So it's time to listen to Vivid. Stay on the music. Thanks for listening in. Keep it locked right here on RCO Radio.